My life changed when I got my head stuck in that fence. That's not weird itself. That's just where I was when Mr. Lord Tarquin found me out and rescued me before I got collected up by Kesra. He told me he'd train me up to be an heroic adventurer just like him. He taught me that day how to do all these heroic things like hiding under tables and getting away with stealing and breaking into Mrs. Gribbin's house. You know, heroic things. Then I had my first adventuring experience when Ruth was taken hostage by evil kobolds. There was a lot of talking and it was a bit hard to follow, but so I zoned out for a moment, I think. But in the end, we joined forces with the kidnappers and took the rest of the hostages with us. Now that I think back to it, it doesn't sound all that heroic that much. In fact, it sounds what criminals do, I reckon. Anyway, it was about this point that we got attacked by a dragon and a lot of us died.
In the merry month of June, when first from home I started, left the girls from tomb so sad and broken heart, saluted father and dear, kissed me darling mother and drank a pint of beer, me grief and tears to smother, then off to reap the corn, leave where I was born, cut the stock by flown to banish ghosts and goblin, brought a pair of brogues, rattle o' the bogs, frighten all the dogs, on the rocky road to Dublin, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, one the hare and turn her down the rocky road, and all the way to Dublin, whack for Aldi da.
I think everybody remembers where they were.
Oh, yes. My god.
Okay, so Kesra is currently flying above you, very angry and very bigger word than angry. I don't have a story to have open at the moment. But
furious?
Like, furious, yes. There
mildly
we go.
Annoyed.
All of them had gone from my writer brain. Kesra, furious that there are several little beings stealing away with what she supposes is her treasure.
Those are my collectibles!
So, the first wagon in this...
You're getting them dusty!
...run of six is just at the entrance to the cave, and the rest of you are a bit further back. You guys are either side of the fourth wagon. Okay, so... how are we going to do this?
Oh my god. What if we
I
set
suppose
fire?
Roll initiative.
Alright. So I'm thinking, set fire to the rear wagon, then Kesra might try and put it out.
No, my collectibles!
Okay, I've rolled for the kobolds. They did not do good. 20 to 25. That's nobody.
Wait.
Oh, wait, no, I got 22, sorry.
Jeez, okay. Tarquin.
Wakey. I had to think for a second. I had no idea what you were asking.
Okay, 15 to 20?
Yes.
Yes.
What did you guys get?
16.
15.
Okay.
Oh.
I actually got 16, but it's minus 1.
Oh.
5 to 10? Sorry, 10 to 15?
Me. I got 14.
Oh.
Well, that's the whole party then.
You sound so sad about that.
What did Kesra get, Alistair? Have you rolled for Kesra?
Kesra got a 4, so...
Okay.
She's very far
that
away.
Works well. So, okay.
It works out about as well as it can.
Oh my god, we're fighting a dragon as level 1s.
Okay, so...
Yeah, we need to level you guys up. You're small.
Yes, we are. God.
How many cubic feet is Kesra?
Okay, so you're about, from where you're standing...
More than 5.
You're about maybe 70 foot away from the entrance to the cave.
Okay.
That's terrible.
How far away is Kesra from us?
Up in the air, maybe like 150 foot up in the air.
That's out of range.
Yeah.
Oh, no, wait, yeah. No, it's
that's
not.
Out of range.
I've got 320 foot range.
Oh, never mind then.
Oh, wait, so have I. Oh. How does that work? 80 or 320?
Disadvantage. 80 is normal. After that, it's disadvantage.
Right, okay. Cool.
Are we going to annoy the dragon?
That would be very annoying. Just
yeah, because let's make this clear. Shooting her is, if she even notices, all it's going to do.
Yeah, okay.
Is annoy her.
So am I the first then?
Yes.
Okay, I want to shout at the top of my lungs, oh, no. Dragon, dragon, Kesra, dragon! And I want to try to hurry everybody up and try to make the kobolds run faster and push the wagons quicker.
Okay.
Oh, bless.
I mean, everybody's alert now. Even the ones who didn't quite notice the roar, what was going on, have seen the dragon on and out. They're pushing as hard as they can.
Guys.
When it comes to their turn.
I've just realised... I'm on 1 HP.
Yeah, you're
Sticks,
on...
did you not do anything?
I had a bucket of water thrown at me.
I have no spell slots available.
Yeah.
Yeah, we haven't taken a rest.
Oh, dear.
Are you sticking with the wagon that you're next to, Tarquin, or are you going in ahead to the cave?
I am going to stick with the wagon, but am I on my wagon or am I walking beside it?
You're beside it.
Okay. I'm going to hop on it and ready my short bow.
The wagon slows down noticeably.
I hop back off.
The girl's like, "You brute, get off! Help us push!"
Oh. Fiddlesticks! I help him push.
Okay, cool.
Does it speed up considerably when I help push, seeing as though I am twice their size?
It will speed up a little, yeah.
Good, any little helps.
Okay, so you, in that time, with your extra pushing, you move it along 40 foot.
Okay, so I believe 40 foot is swimmingly.
Yeah, so there's 30 foot left to go for your wagon. You're beside the other ones now as well. Okay, Ruth, your go.
Oh my god, I don't know what to do.
Now you know how I felt. I had no idea what to do.
Oh, I thought I had more time than this. So the wagon that Ruth's next to, are there any kobolds free nearby?
Free? They're all pushing.
Okay.
Each one of them. There's none really.
They're all now aware that there is a dragon heading
Ruth
our way.
Is not really in a state to help push at 1 HP. She's a little bit knackered. She's going to, you know, lift up a bit of the canvas covering and be like, "Where on earth do you keep your health potions?" And start scrambling through trying to find something.
Okay.
But be careful, because she's in the state where if she even gets so much as a splinter, she's gone
well,
again.
I better not roll a nat one.
Oh!
Okay.
What am I searching?
Roll for investigation.
Investigation.
Yeah. Oh, come on, let's investigate the shit out of this thing.
Can I just point out how ridiculous this is, that we're on the fifth session? And this is the first time anything has been looted.
Having left the Cave of Wonders.
We're bad adventurers, what do you expect? Well,
having left a cage that is described as being full of treasure, and two of you even spoke about how cool it would be to loot.
Oh, no, wait a minute. This is the second bit of loot we've got. Because we got the disguise kit.
Oh, right.
We didn't bring the carpets, did we?
Oh, yeah, that's fair.
To be fair, though, Kesra believes that we've been looting, hasn't she?
Yeah. I rolled a 17 plus 1, so 18 for investigation.
Okay, let's see what you find. So, you open the first box. I'm going to say that you opened two boxes, because that was a pretty good roll.
Yeah.
The first box, you open it, and fortunately off in there for you is wrapped up in a leather bundle 20 arrows, and all of them have this brass fist at the end of each of them instead of an arrowhead.
Arrows with the power of punches.
Oh, this could be ideal.
You got a good roll, so I'm going to say that the other box you opened, you did find a health potion.
Yay!
You found a healing potion.
Thank Jesus. So
you were looking specifically for that, so I'm going to say with that good roll, you did find a box with that in there, because that is in there.
Thank God. So, you know, she's going to grab the arrows and put them in her quiver as she bites the cork off the health potion and just chugs it.
Okay, cool.
I feel like that would be
What does the health potion taste like to you?
It tastes of cherries. With a little bit of licorice mixed in.
Ugh.
Okay, so while you're running, put 20 walloping arrows into your inventory.
I am intrigued by walloping arrows. What do they do?
Okay, you moving forward as well?
Yeah, I feel like having got the arrows and the health potions, she'll move. She'll probably move back towards the rear of the carts, actually.
Okay.
To try and get them moving forward. She's offered to help. She's not going to, you know, leave these guys stranded.
Okay,
even
cool.
if it is her death.
So you go back to there. Next up, we've got Styx.
How much do I heal?
Who,
just before.
Oh, yeah. Elsa, how do potions work?
That has to save me.
It's 1d4 plus something, isn't it?
I don't think it is. I think it's a fairly minor thing. Sorry.
Yeah.
Give me
While Elsa's looking for that, we'll go through what Styx is doing. Styx, I've got you down in my little map here as that you were next to the one that Tarquin was next to.
Okay.
So he's pushed that off with his kobolds a little bit ahead. You've got one just not too far in front of you, like a good 10 foot in front of you, and another one 20 or so foot behind.
I think I'm going to hop out and help push with my insane strength.
I like the idea that you are also in there.
Which one is the one with all the villagers?
They're dispersed throughout them. I haven't actually noted that down, so let's say that... How many villagers were there? There were five, weren't there?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's two in the second carriage, another two in the third carriage, and then the last one in the fourth, which... that one's been pushed by Tarquin ahead. So, yeah, they're all
and,
near the start.
I found health potions. It's 2d4 plus 2.
Ooh, 2d4. Ooh.
Ooh.
So you're going to go... the nearest one to you would be the third one in.
Okay.
So you're going to help push that one. That will move. That's about 10 foot away from the cave now. More or less in line with the one that Tarquin pushed.
You can just hear me sort of like screaming at the one villager that's tied up, bound and gagged. Hurry up, get out, help push! Don't give me that! Help!
It just sort of like shows you his wrists that are tied up and bound together. Okay, now it is Lumpkin's turn, who is the fifth carriage back at the moment.
Cool. Are there any humans tied up on my carriage?
Not on yours, no.
Where are they again?
They're all near the start now. They're on the second, third, and fourth. The third and fourth of which Styx and Tarquin have helped push forward.
Cool. So I'm on the fifth, and then the sixth is still way behind.
The sixth is not too far behind you, but Ruth's ran along to that one.
Okay. I'm going to hop up onto mine and climb under the covers because I weigh fuck all, and so it won't really help. And I'm going to make myself look as inanimate as physically possible.
So you're going to flop?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
That is perfect.
But like under stuff. So I climb under stuff and then flop. And then the stuff flops on top of me.
Okay. I suppose make a stealth check.
Make a what now?
Stealth check. If you're hiding. Or are you just climbing on there?
No, let's go for hiding.
Okay, cool.
She says.
Oh.
Rolling that particular dice.
Oh.
And that particular number.
I rolled a 4 plus 2 for stealth, so it's 6. So.
Okay.
So.
Obviously doing a brilliant job.
Just to highlight something, I found some stats.
Oh, no.
Oh.
This makes me very.
So to contest, this is just to highlight how pathetic you as level one characters are and how incredibly out of your league
Kesra is.
It's not like
she
we went after her.
She has a perception of plus 14.
Mm.
Oh, we can't hide.
How can she be so perceptive if she's so big? Surely she misses small details.
I don't know, it's... All those collectibles, I guess.
Yeah, she's got a good eye for detail.
Could she see me flipping her off from here? I'm not saying that. I am. I'm just saying, could she?
Oh, yeah, she would absolutely be able to see.
Oh! So is it safe to say at this point she's recognised all of us?
When she's not even looking for something,
she's noticed everything.
Yeah, to any check, she gets plus 14.
Fucking hell!
Christ on a fantasy Christ on a bicycle.
Kezra watched her climb up the side of the caravan, recognised her as a thing she had already collected, and then she watched Lumpkin pull the blankets over itself while squeaking in terror.
Squeaking in terror?
I mean, there was never going to be any heroic options for a 3-foot-6 teddy bear also, against a giant fuck-off dragon.
Just because I was curious to see what would actually happen, I did roll and she got a 32.
About passed.
Do you guys reckon the kobolds have maybe snagged a ballista underneath one of these wagons?
Now's the time.
Okay. So it's the kobold's turn now. So if they would have the ballista, this would be when they use it.
Come on.
Have they got a ballista?
No.
Well, it's worth a go.
A trebuchet?
Okay. First wagon is now safe inside.
Hooray. The
one that was being helped by Styx is also safe inside, although it's quite a tight fit. The third one, which was just a bit behind Tarquin, you are just at the entrance as you've had to wait for them to go through.
Traffic, innit?
Hurry up!
Whoa, no, my mic's falling over. Sorry, the tension's getting to me. Okay, so there is a large cluster that are quite two are very near the entrance, and then two are further back that need another round to actually get anywhere. Now it's time for Kezra's turn, who is currently 120 foot in the air.
Oh my god, what's the flight speed?
So she's 120 foot in the air. 80 feet.
What's Kezra's range? She picked me up from Felis, which I can imagine is not close by as it's a separate island entity. What's her range? How long are we going to be fleeing from her?
Safe to say she's not particularly out of breath.
Oh, God.
Speaking of which, that's your next problem.
Breath.
Oh,
exhaustion.
No.
I am a podgy boy.
Kezra is going to shout, "You're getting dust on them!" And then she's going to exhale, and it's not fire.
Oh.
What you see come out of her mouth is a cloud of this sort of purplish vapour. And she is aiming currently at the rearmost wagon, but she's gradually sweeping forwards as she's flying towards you. And you see the cone, you see the vapour billowing over the wagons, and the crew are panicking and they're taking deep breaths, and when they breathe in this vapour, they fall comatose. Like the crews are just passing out as this cone is reaching them. So the wagons are completely undamaged. And the crew, hopefully they're collectible, because if they're not, it's not going to end well for them. Put it that way.
Oh, good God.
Oh, I am exceedingly collectible.
Surely Lumpkin doesn't need to breathe, so surely Lumpkin will be fine.
Is it more like a stun powder?
That's
too powerful.
I was going to say it's like
it's magic.
Yeah, I'm not going to give you that one.
So is that the last two wagons that she's attacking?
That is the last two wagons.
Okay, so I'm going to say, Ruth, that you were just out of range of that one by the side of the... because you hadn't quite reached the last wagon yet.
She sees it coming, holds her breath, and stops.
Does not need to breathe. Lumpkin just stops pretending.
Make a constitution saving throw, Lumpkin.
I rolled an 11 plus 2, which is a 13.
Afraid not.
So Lumpkin is now asleep in the back of that second to the back rear
wagon. You've not moved at all. You're still tucked up under blankets and sheets, but now you're asleep as well as comfy.
Oh well, now I am fulfilling my true goal of being an actual inanimate object.
Yeah, so really she's helping you.
Yeah. I am now less collectible, however.
True, you're just a regular teddy bear.
Yeah.
Okay, Tarquin, you are now at the wagon that's just outside the entrance to this cave.
Oh, God. Have I seen this cone of sleep?
Well, which way were you looking? Were you looking at the dragon, or were you cowering in true Tarquin fashion?
I don't think I was cowering. I think I was just like egging the wagon in front of me in the most polite and calm way possible, telling them to hurry the fuck up.
Okay, yeah. Let's say you saw it. You've seen it.
You absolutely saw it. You saw this cloud of billowing purple gas envelop the two rearmost wagons, and you saw all the crew. You know what? Roll perception.
Okay. 14.
All right, fine. Yeah, you can see that they're still breathing.
Okay.
So they're not dead, whatever this effect has
done. Yeah, the one that was pushing, the one with Lumpkin on it, two or three kobolds, the two kobolds pushing it have just fallen to the side and slumped against the ground.
One of them is snoring loudly.
I can hear that over the sound of the dragon and the beating wings.
It's adorable. Yeah.
And the screaming villagers who are fleeing towards their own homes.
Like, these are, you know, this is a proper lawnmower snore. Like, you'd hate this guy if you had to share a room with him.
Oh, God. The kind that vibrates the walls.
This is what we're focusing on.
Yeah, you know, you get the feeling he needs like a CPAP machine or one of those weird sort of, you know, those strips that you stick over your nose. But
anyway, let's keep this action going. This is intensely. What are you doing, Tarquin?
I don't know. Okay.
It's just the teddy bear snoring, isn't it? It's the same squeaky noise. I put the playback speed to 0.25%. So it's just a slowed down squeak, and it's the sound that Lumpkin's making to try and act as if she's fucking unconscious.
That works so well.
Styx is in the one behind me, isn't he?
Styx has managed to push. He went for the wagon that was in front of you guys, so he's actually managed to push.
Go for your shitty ass wagon.
You know what's also just occurred to me?
What?
Lumpkin is unconscious. So she's making that noise involuntarily.
Yeah.
Oh, that's adorable.
So does this mean that Lumpkin breathes when it's unconscious?
Yes.
Oh.
Like,
it's a learned motor response.
I'm just trying to.
This is
out.
Going quite far down the rabbit hole, I think.
Of Lumpkin and Etty.
Yeah. Everybody's just stopped and just thought, like, had to think about it. All the kobolds that are still away, just thought, how.
It's like one of the, it's like those moments, you know,
it's
when
like
you've
the thumb discussion all. Yeah. Over again.
You know when you've just broken something, or you're about to see a glass fall, and in that moment time slows, and you can think about every single thing except how to stop it from hitting the ground.
Yeah.
That's what's happening
right
now.
It's just a shocking moment of clarity.
Yes. The epiphany second. Well, within this epiphany second, I think... Tarquin's still waiting on the wagon that's ahead of me because it's a slow thing.
Yeah, just about getting in there.
I'm going to give this an almighty shove with the kobold and see if we can ram that one in front of us and try to push everything in.
So that's strength. I'll give you advantage.
Oh, yay. I'm definitely going to need it.
Nonsense. You saw how he managed to lift that one bit of wood once.
I have a minus one in strength.
What was that? What do you get with advantage then?
12.
Okay. You managed to get in just enough so that the wagon is in, but you at the back and the
I'm
two cobbles with you are not. Oh, yeah, you're still exposed.
Okay, that's
well, the wagon and the person that's in it are now Mr. Brown, who's in it, are in. Where the heck is Andrew at this point? Hold on.
I don't know.
Let's just. I've forgotten about Andrew. Let's see.
if he's with me, can you add his strength
story
to that to see
life.
If we all get in?
Oh, he's got his legs stuck in a fucking fence again, hasn't he?
He's stuck in the spokes of the wagon wheel.
Just going around and around.
He rolled a 5 He rolled a 5 minus 3, so like he's not much help. He's pushing the wheels rather than the wagon itself.
Oh my god!
He's pushing the wrong way, isn't it?
He's pushing it sideways.
He's pulling.
Oh, I've got my cloaks cutting the wheels, sir. Sorry.
Oh god! How am I not the most incompetent person here?
Okay.
I feel like Tarkin would then turn back to whoever's behind him and just be like, "Are you happy now? I helped save them."
All the people behind you are asleep, apart from Ruth.
Is Ruth happy?
Ruth is just wide-eyed and like, shit.
Wide-eyed and shit. Okay, so, yeah, I think that's my turn.
Ruth is currently quite stoned on health potion, having just gone from being almost unconscious to chugging this extremely powerful medicine.
She feels good.
Buzzing. But she's still realizing.
It's her turn now.
It's Ruth's turn. Yeah. Okay. So
you would have seen Lumpkin fall asleep on the wagon not too far in front of you.
That is exactly what I was going to ask. Holding my breath, Ruth is going to run forward, just plunge her arm underneath the canvas and just pull Lumpkin out and just sprint towards the entrance. Like, okay. These wagons are useless now.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, let's say the cloud weighs as much disperses as like shortly after it's gone.
Yeah,
yeah, like it's not a sort of lingering.
Excellent. In which case,
miasma effect. Yeah, grab it's Lumpkin. Just like a focus breath weapon.
Okay, right. So because you're sprinting, that's double speed. You're about 30 foot away from the entrance to the cave with Lumpkin in tow.
Were you to try this with any other character, you'd probably have to make a strength check. But because Lumpkin is literally a cushion. Safe to say that you can probably lift him.
Okay, Sticks.
I have an idea.
Yep.
It's stupid.
Good.
All the better.
Well, yeah.
When was the last time it rained?
I think last time we tested that, it hadn't rained in a while.
Bollocks.
So
did it rain whilst we were there?
Is it thematic rain?
You were oblivious to the fact that the sun was even up, so who knows? But what's your plan?
Right. You didn't even hear that fucking owl.
So, what owl? I am going to have a tactical chunder.
Okay.
Okay. I'm really intrigued now.
Now, can I use can I tactical chunder as a bonus action? Because I have an idea.
Tell me your idea.
I'm going to tactically chunder to get rid of this fucking keg in my stomach, and then I'm going to roll in it.
Ow. Okay.
Yes, okay, sure.
Because, and here's the fucking reasoning, hold on to your hats. Because fucking the dragon wants us to be mint condition, right? But she won't want a half-orc covered in vom.
It might make you a bit more unique.
Bollocks, I didn't think of that.
Although, as Tarkin would say, what's unique about a half-orc covered in vom? Nothing.
Okay, so let's do this.
Let's hold it with the racism.
I need to get rid of this anyway.
I'm going to say going down and rolling into it, that can count as movement if you like.
I'm safe in the cave, he says, with air quotes.
Oh, good
roll
God.
For constitution. If you fail, you throw up.
But I want to throw up.
Yeah, but you're sticking to constitution is your endurance. If you stick your finger in your throat, you have to fail the endurance of not your gut reaction in order to throw up.
That takes away the fucking thought of it being a tactical chunder.
Tell you what, if you're sticking your fingers in your throat, you'll give yourself advantage.
I will. Yes, I will be sticking my fingers in my throat.
Disadvantage, I suppose.
No, it's advantage. I'm trying to make it happen.
Advantage, but you choose.
Yeah, but
you can choose the lower
one. Yeah, but
happens
if you fail.
Yes.
Oh, right. God, this is confusing.
Oh, I'm sure Gary Gygax had this kind of a conversation envisioned when he was coming up with the rules of D&D some 40 years ago.
Rolled a 7, and my consti saving throw is +1, so 8.
It wouldn't be saving throw, it would just be constitution. So.
Oh, well.
That's good enough. You stick your jammy fingers down your throat, manage to get just to the right spot, and then a bucket of vile... that whole keg all comes out at once in this horrible, acidic, beery...
Keep going.
smell.
How do the kobolds react to this? They can see it.
Think of that scene from Little Britain.
Oh, yes.
No. This is not like just a little bit.
Yeah, this is a hose. Oh, can I direct the hose at the dragon?
I don't think it will reach.
Nonsense.
Somehow I don't think you have a range of 90 feet.
You underestimate how much beer I've drunk.
What if...
No, I know exactly how much beer you've drunk. I worked it out.
What if the kobold squeezes his stomach?
Because I worked out what to charge
you. Someone can squeeze me and I might get an extra couple feet. But okay, if that doesn't work, I'll chunder on the floor and then, as my action, I'm going to fucking somersault into it and then just starfish. Make a vomit angel.
Oh no.
Lumpkin would never like to be on your shoulders again.
Oh, what?
I'll tell you, this is the kind of plan that you come up with while you're drunk, and after you've thrown up and you've sobered up, you realise, what the hell am I doing?
If I...
So the kobolds that were near you pushing the wagon, they just look down to the ground and just flinch and... And the women that are in the carriage in front of you, tied up, just watch you in pure horror as this half-orc vomits.
I just look up and give them a thumbs up.
By the way, I've just one of them re-googled faints. These numbers just to check. It's 190 litres.
Yes. Oh my god.
So this is not just like a little bit. This is like the scene in Team America.
That is pretty much what I was going for. Yeah.
Like you are an orky archipelago in ever expanding sea.
And of yes. As you're vomiting, it's your body. It looks like a bouncy castle as it deflates. All the parts of you that were containing beer are now sort of like shriveling down and decreasing in size. Your stomach.
It turns out you're actually really scared.
Yeah, I'm a twig. Well, I'm built like a brick shithouse, but I'm mostly my stomach. I had like a six pack before instead of carrying octuplets, which I was when I was fucking having that beer.
Okay, so that's what you do. You're
that's my image, and then I throw myself into it. And just cover myself head to toe. Like I'm fucking just all over the place. It's probably going to take a turn out, actually.
No wonder that when you were on the wagon, it was barely moving. Just the beer weight is 190
pounds. Oh my God.
I carry it well. Okay, hang on. It's going to take more than a turn for me to get all of this out. Would you agree? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to lie on my back. And it's just going to be a
fountain.
There will be a fountain in this town of me after all this is over.
Although, to be fair, you did get rid of a decent amount in the Portaloo, which no longer has.
That is true. I forgot about that. Oh, no, I pissed that away, didn't I? Oh, of course I did. Yeah, I pissed the fucking door out the back. And the subsequent buildings on the opposite side, isn't it?
God,
how could you forget a detail like that?
You would have peed most of it. Like you can't. The rest was still to go through what was left of your system.
What's left?
Tarquin sees this, takes one look, and is like, "I no longer feel bad about turning up covered in piss. This is the most vile thing that I have ever witnessed."
And now it's Lumpkin's go, and Lumpkin is asleep. So now it's Ruth's go. No, it's not. It's the kobold's go. Okay. So, hold on. How do they deal with the vomit?
This is not something I ever thought we'd have to work out.
The two that are next to you sticks, they gag to themselves. Oh, dear. But they managed just to keep it in and trundle on the wagon inside. So now all the first four are now within the cave. Now it's Kesra's turn.
Oh no. How's Kesra reacting to
Chonda?
Okay, Kesra can't see that because that's on the inside of the cave mouth.
That makes it even better that he's doing it.
Definitely a drunk decision.
Let's not forget this was entirely voluntary.
This is my grandmaster plan.
years of training all for this.
5 years of medical school.
Bard's College.
Oh my god, this is beautiful.
So,
yeah, how do you recover from that shitstorm?
Having Alistair as a co-DM has helped with a lot of running this Dungeons and Dragons session with the guys. Helps especially with the NPCs. Generally, when we create an NPC, we create two characters which we can take over so that we can bounce off of each other and the characters as well. So it eases the pressure upon if it was just the one of us DMing. It also helps with keeping track of lore and rules and things that have been said before. We can keep our separate notes. Somebody can be writing notes and looking up the rules while somebody else continues running the game. Where it fails, however, is when both of you try to run a battle at the same time. For example, here, Alistair was controlling Kezra, whereas I had access to the map. And Alistair did not. And so, as consequence, we accidentally landed a dragon on two of the player characters. It was not good, but it's okay because it's fantasy and we can make up stuff and we're in control. Also, you know, the player characters, they could have done a lot to help themselves. You know, they could have, rather than gone out straight away, they could have rested and got that health back and got those spells back, which would have helped a lot had they had the opportunity to use them. So, you know, we're all at fault here. We're all at fault. Anyway, here's where it goes to hell.
I found something quite interesting, by the way. No, I found a body surface area calculator.
Ooh. Oh.
So I've been working out the internal surface area of sticks.
You're welcome, motherfuckers.
And what sort of pressure that vomit fountain is generating.
You see, here,
because I was curious.
I bring out the best in D&D sessions.
What's his range?
What's my range?
Tell me it's 90 feet.
Just Kedra's disgusted by the smell of vomit.
Look, you're all welcome.
Collectibles!
I'll just vomit on either everyone or her. And make her so undesirable, she won't even fucking follow us.
Thank you, Styx. Thank you.
No, right, fine. She lands, and you finally see just how big Kezra is. And it's safe to say she's bigger than 5 foot cube.
Fuck you, funny man.
She lands, and you actually can't see anything more of her than 1 foot.
Mm.
Because that foot lands, you know, a good 20 feet away from the entrance to the cave, but that is still all you can see.
Ruth make it in?
Ruth is still... You were close. You're still about...
Yeah. You're close to the entrance, but you're outside.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Kezra will land right next to you, not necessarily looking at you, but right next to you.
I'm so sorry. Carry on. Don't let me distract you.
Never. So.
Oh, fuck.
Kezra, no.
So Kezra lands. Kezra lands.
Okay.
And she starts ripping open the roofs of the wagons, and she's going, "Where is it? Where is it? Where is it?" And she's rummaging, and she's throwing kobolds from one wagon, and they're just flying off into the distance like Team Rocket. And she's ripping open the wagons, but being very, very careful once she's actually taken the roof off. And she is searching feverishly. And she doesn't seem to find what she's looking for. And she starts sniffing around. Exactly, Sticks. Thank you.
Dick saved us.
And she starts nosing towards the cave. And... ooh, I want to see. Okay, great, cool.
Uh-oh.
She rolls a one.
Just blinded by fury. And
as well, as a crit fail cannot be modified by her plus 14 in perception.
Oh my god, is it just like that scene in Jurassic Park?
So
she can't see us if we stand still.
She starts sniffing towards the cave and
her eyes,
and those wrinkles.
Her eyes are watering.
And her eyes narrow. And she... yeah, like if you guys are practically crying from the stench, you can only imagine what she's thinking.
I was thinking for all the loss of her belongings that she... she's crying for a lot of reasons. She's had a hard day. She's come back, seen all of her favourite possessions gone, a hole blown in the wall of her house. And
it
now
stings.
All a whole bunch of her favourite things have now been driven into a cave.
But yeah, she sniffs at the cave mouth. And goes, what's that smell? And she gathers up all of her stuff as much as she can in her massive claws.
Oh no, Lumpkin.
She's with me.
Okay. I was... oh god, I was scared for a minute.
Shoots one final glance towards the cave and takes off again. Ruth, you were within about 10 feet of the dragon's feet, weren't you?
Yeah.
All right. Make a dex saving throw.
Okay.
It's all right. You can land on Lumpkin.
So I rolled a 4. Plus 5 is 9.
How much health do you have?
I have 8. 8 pieces of health.
8 whole HPs.
How many do I now have?
Is it a number less than 0?
Is it less than 11?
I mean, you're not wrong. She gathers up all of her belongings and she flaps her titanic wings, which block out the entire sky. And takes off. And as she takes off, there is a tremendous gust of wind blowing trees and wagons. Oh. And as it turns out, Ruth's.
As Ruth gets blown away, she's going to like instinctively cradle Lumpkin. Just to sort of try and shield.
Fair enough. How much health did you say you have again?
8, but I think that 8 might have changed. Do I fly towards the cave and land in Stixper's pool?
You are standing between her and the cave. So yeah, I would say you fly into the cave. But you fly into the cave very decidedly unconscious as you take 12 damage from assorted impacts of clods of earth and stones and pieces of kobold. And pieces of wagon.
Okay.
And random trinkets that Kezra has failed to pick up. And you skid to a halt, and then you carry on skidding. And then you carry
that
on
water
skidding.
Slide that
completely
Styx
overshot the Vaughn.
And then you carry on skidding. In the sort of chunky slip and slide that's been very kindly creating for you.
I'll apologize for nothing, especially when it comes to art.
And you are out of combat.
Oh my god.
You're but very welcome, guys.
I'm still holding Lumpkin, so right? Lumpkin safe.
You protected Lumpkin.
Yeah, you're still holding Lumpkin.
Does Lumpkin take damage?
Let's say half damage.
I imagine,
so
like, as Ruth gets picked up, she's going to like turn so she's not going to land on Lumpkin.
Yeah, it would be less.
Yeah.
But she is still going to. Lumpkin takes 6 bludgeoning damage.
Good. I am on 0 health points then.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so Lumpkin also skids to a halt.
I wouldn't mind if
doubly out of combat.
is doubly out of combat and slowly begins soaking up the puddle that they are now.
Oh, no.
I'm just imagining Styx realizing and just wringing Lumpkin out before she wakes up.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's going to be a difficult smell to get rid of.
And Tarquin, who's nearest to the cave, looks out and sees Kezra disappear out of view. So ends the combat.
Don't enjoy being moist in this way.
the kobolds at this moment, the one who seemed to be the one who's in charge, who are called Sniv. He's gonna go around. How many do we have left? How many have we lost?
Well, there were six in the wagon outside.
I expected you to say that in the voice of the kobold, Alistair.
Oh, fine. Line again.
How many have we lost?
Six, sir.
Anybody injured? We've got 1, 2, 3, well, 4 wagons.
Yeah.
Still. Okay.
But
where's our medic? Do we still have our medic? Unfortunately, there.
No, I thought I saw him hitting a pine tree about a mile off.
Oh.
Don't do that, Alistair.
Oh, I'm sorry. Am I killing the party?
You're killing the party. No, not to worry. I'm over here.
Okay, yeah.
That was my twin brother, the other medic that we lost. Well, however, I am still alive.
Oh my god. We really are fucking failures if we need you to do this for us.
We've only got 2 down. It's only like half the party.
Fucking hell.
It makes sense that the kobolds would have a medic with them.
The 2 of you that are down are the one competent one and the tank.
Yeah. We tanked the damage.
We've got left the milksop and the incredibly hungover
and the fountain.
Get me a cloth. One. I need to clean them up.
The only damage that Tarquin has taken is self-inflicted.
I honestly don't remember where I lost all the health that I had.
You don't
remember.
You haven't healed.
You got critted by a kobold. You got shot in the face.
Oh, yeah.
So
and you've not healed since.
I don't have a brain to remember things.
So the medic kobold crouches over our 2 unconscious heroes, calls for aid, and starts working, cleaning off the vomit that is on them both. And
that is the most important part right now.
Applying the bandages and everything that needs to be done. Does anyone have a sewing kit?
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
Oh, we're good at sewing.
Oh, no, you're not.
Who's getting sewn? I'm assuming Lumpkin.
Yes, yeah.
Thank God.
That's not so bad.
Fantasy God.
And they work their stuff and haul you into the back of one of the wagon where they cart you away as they begin healing and fixing you and getting you all stitched together. And that is where we are as we travel through the caves.
Oh, God.
Am I done chundering yet?
Which would have been lovely, and you would have possibly explored them at
length. You've been chundering at this point. Cool. You have to sort of like run up to catch up with everybody. So you slowly make way through your caves. There's a somber mood over the party. None of the kobolds are speaking, apart from the occasional sentence just to plan what the action is next, or just to check up on each other. There is a deep silence within the cave, almost an echoey silence of nothing.
I'm going to announce loudly that I feel much better.
I just can't believe how much came out of you. There was just so much chunder.
As I said, I will not apologise for art. You're all very, very welcome.
You should apologise for that art.
Look, I made it faster to get down the hole, all right? By making an involuntary slip and slide that has a bit of a fucking aftertaste. And a bit smelly. But nonetheless, I helped. And that is the
important. Surprised that Lumpkin isn't disintegrating.
That's a very good point, yeah.
At this point, she's probably pretty much held together by chunks.
Oh, Lumpkin. I'm going to kind of waddle slowly over and kind of help wring her out. just
that smell is never
the smell. The smell won't go. Granted, it will take some time for the smell to go. But like, what I will do.
So
sorry.
So Lumpkin is made of fabric, right? That was blue. Is there such a thing as Febreze in this world? Because we could totally just Febreze Lumpkin.
They said that this ended up at the coast, right?
You are welcome to go looking for the fantasy laundrette next time you get to a town that isn't being assaulted by a dragon.
Noted.
If your friend wants cleaning up, Mrs. Gribbins was a washerwoman.
Oh, brilliant. I'm just going to quickly ring her out. Just... There we go. Get most of the bomb out.
Mrs. Gribbins was a washerwoman, but they'd have to go
brush some of the chunks off.
Oh, no. Mrs. Gribbins is one of the captives.
Oh, yeah, captives.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
How convenient.
They're in the back of the wagon as well.
I like that the kobolds know more about them than we do. Oh, wait, that was Andrew.
That was Amelia.
Oh, yeah.
Are they happy about their predicament, then? Most of us aren't dead.
I think they're all just horrified having witnessed what Styx just
did. Yeah, Mrs. Gribbins, in fact, has fainted at the moment, so she's unconscious.
I'm going to just keep my thumb up. That's it. Just thumbs up. Fuck off.
Okay. Up.
You weak stomach fool.
Anyway, back to the mood I was trying to set.
back to that somber mood.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
Eventually, finally, you start to see lights in the distance at the edge of the tunnel. The kobold at the front puts out their torches, puts out the lanterns that they were using, and you emerge out. It's gone past evening now. It is now night. The sky is completely clear. You can see stars above, and fortunately, no dragon. And?
It's actually night this time, right?
Yeah
it's night.
Just triple checking.
The sea in front of you is quite calm here and is reflecting the starlight back towards you. There's not even a hint of wind anymore. And to your right, you can see the edge of the forest right on the edge of the shore, where there appears to be a worn-down road leading deep into it.
I guess I'll say bye to my hometown then. Bye, Bugrel.
Wow.
Bugrel.
Bugrel spelled B-U-G-R-U-L.
Bugrel.
Oh, Bugrel.
Very inventive.
Wonderful.
I should name my child.
At least he's finally adventuring beyond the boundaries of his town.
Yeah, and with you having escaped Bugrel and the clutches of Kezra, you now will all level up.
Hey!
Yay! I don't think that we escaped Bugrel. I think we escaped quite a fucking lot.
Yeah.